I think you should support the local businesses that are supporting you.
I'm sure with the local currency, right?
With the local.
That's right.
There's okay. Like bazooka size buds. Just have them like hanging around your neck.
No, actual local currency. Somebody's moving for that.
Local currency?
Uh-huh.
Is the dollar devalued too much no. for our
it's dinner? It's one of those things where it's like, you know.
It's just
it's
really
like Disney
lame.
Bucks or something.
It's a lot.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, we got Ian, we got Mark, we're doing another 48 hours. That's right, we're back with the same pedigree. It's 8 years later. The first one was 82. This is now, you know what? It's 90 in the, it was made in 1990, so 8 years later. But I think in the movie, it's supposed to be 5 years later.
It's supposed to be about 88, I guess.
Yeah, weird. Okay. Not super important, I guess. Time has passed. Nolte has lost a little weight. He's a little less gruff, quit drinking, like he said. He seems a little more optimistic in a weird way, kind of, even though shit's still going down. He's chasing after this big-time drug dealer that no one believes exists called the Iceman.
No, and Matt O'Toole.
Yeah, that's a serious detraction in this movie. We got the same pedigree again. We got Nolte, we got Murphy, we got Brian James from Time Rider, who played Officer Keough, his helper, his fellow officer in the first movie. He's back.
Inspector,
because it's San Francisco, right? Good point. And we got who else? Oh, we got James Horner taking more rehashed Commando music with the Caribbean drums. A little more synth in this one than before. And we got Walter Hill as the director. So visually, it's more of a late 80s, early 90s kind of movie. It's got the high lighting, the real strong like backlight that shines. It looks a little like a Tango and Cash or a Die Hard or that kind of thing, as opposed to the first one, as opposed to the first 48 Hours, which looked more like cut and dry, more early 80s. That's just the way the things looked. I'd say that they're, Murphy's really blown up as a comedian at this point. His career is like way bigger than it was back in 82. And so,
Eddie Murphy Productions?
Yeah, yeah. He produced the film. And so they definitely make a point of trying to put more jokes in it, more stuff with him. Not a lot, but like they're, like the phone call part where he's calling up all of his different friends. And it seems clear that it's just kind of excuses for him to be riffing on stuff. That's sort of the point of those little quick scenes. The movie's still about 90 minutes. It's not super long. It's not bloated or it's got the similar pacing where, you know, some action happens. There's some crazy guys. You kind of follow the crazy guys for a bit. Then, you know, some shit happens with Nolte. Nolte ends up in hot water. He fucks up as a cop, kind of. Though not really in this case. And they can't find a gun, and there's no evidence to indicate, so that they can't prove that he was acting responsibly, so it seems like maybe he was being negligent.
Well, he did toast the guy.
But he toasted a guy, but, you know. The guy was standing next to
a gas pump.
A gas pump. Heck yeah, it was. And, really, then the movie just moves on. You got Gance's brother, in sort of a strange coincidence. It's played by the guy who played Wishmaster in the first two Wishmaster movies. I don't remember his name.
The only one I think I've seen is 3. You were mentioning that.
He wasn't in 3. 3, they had that British guy.
Right.
He was in 1 and he was in 2.
So they changed Wishmasters?
Yeah, they changed Wishmasters.
So was that guy a genie?
A djinn.
A djinn? Excuse me.
Yes.
Okay.
Not in another 48 hours, no.
No.
Though it's possible. It's possible, because in Wishmaster 2, the guy is in his human form, the djinn is, and they arrest him, they prosecute him, they try him, they put him in prison, And he serves out, like, a prison sentence for, like, a year just building up souls. Because, you know, it's like, man, I wish I had a pack of cigarettes. And he's like, really? As you wish. And then, like, he calls in on all those souls later on when he wants. It's like the whole the middle half of Wishmaster 2 is just, like, a prison, like drama. It's great. With Wishmaster, like, folding laundry and stuff. It's like, what? You're a djinn. You're like a, you know, a magical demon being, and you really are just going to kick it in the prison for a while, huh? It's like you need the vacation, I guess.
I guess there wasn't a shower scene.
There might have been. But, I mean, it wasn't like American History X or anything. It's not like the djinn got his shit pushed in or anything.
No, I wouldn't imagine the djinn would get... No shit was pushed in.
No shit was pushed in. Anyway, back to 48 Hours. Similar plot feeling and stuff, but this one just, like, throws in a few extra loops. It seemed like they were doing a lot in the, like, late 80s and early 90s with their cop movies. They got a little overcomplicated with them and tried to make it more conspiratorial and everything, and it really just doesn't work for me. Like, to be honest, in this, the way that this movie plays out...
Good guys, bad guys.
Yeah, but the way that this movie plays out, it throws in, like, another twist on top of a twist, like, so fast, and just into the end, like out of nowhere, and then Uzis are being pulled out, and it's just a crazy shootout, that it really...
It was so fast, it wasn't too fast.
It was too fast.
It wasn't for fast.
It was... No. And it didn't work for me, and I kind of have to say that it's a weak point in the movie.
The ending wasn't my favorite.
It's just the way that like, it's like,
except
no...
Except for Wishmaster crashing into the balls of water.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
That was good stuff.
But, just,
and
I don't know...
And the cage dancers? I mean, yeah. With the chain underwear and whatnot?
I think they got too complicated with it, you
with
know?
With the chains?
Well, no, I mean, like, with the plot, like, basically these bikers are hired to be hitmen by this guy, by the drug dealer, that Eddie Murphy... Which is also ridiculous, because the drug dealer had all that time that Murphy was in prison that he could have had him easily killed.
But they explained that.
That the other guy was taking care of him,
kind of? The other guy had his back.
Yeah, but just having one guy have your back doesn't guarantee...
It didn't really seem to... You didn't really get the picture. That guy was controlling things.
No, I mean, to a degree, but still... The whole thing with Iceman, like, wasn't fleshed out as much as it needed to be if they wanted to make it a big deal. He ended up just being, like... And then, not to mention, if he's, like, a big-time drug dealer, why would he also be, like, a cop that would, like, go and be a cop as, like,
because
a full-time job?
Because protecting himself, because then he can prevent himself from
only
being a cop.
If he's a certain kind of shitty cop. And his partner, or not even his partner, but, like, one of his longtime buddies had been investigating him for the last 4 years.
Well, he did buy him a car and put a down payment on his house.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a buddy kind of thing.
Yeah, well, he didn't know that, though.
Keo knew. I would assume.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
Who knows? Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's a good looking movie to a degree. It's got
you
some good action.
You think he was banging Annette O'Toole, and that's why the relationship?
Oh man, we're not going to talk
about
Nolte, that.
But Nolte didn't find out about it. But
oh,
Keo just decided to completely ruin his life.
No, didn't he convey that they got married, they got a house together, and then she just said was sick of him and
got tired of him
again, finally, and then just moved away.
And moved to Mill Valley.
Which is weird, because like if he quit drinking, maybe he did that after she moved away. Like he
maybe
like most
he,
people,
he, yeah.
When you're in a relationship where things get kind of weird, then usually what happens is the breakup, and then everyone trades up. I think I'm going to give this one a 2.5. Because the plot contrivance...
A 2.5.
The plot contrivance was just too much
for
me.
What the hell did 4 Fast, 4 Furious get?
I didn't see it. I didn't give it anything. But
you gotta give it a 3.
I gave the first one a 3.5, and the first one is actually a pretty good
movie.
The
first one's better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I can't give everything a 3.
A good, solid action movie, you're expecting too much from it.
Maybe
it's worth a 3.
Maybe.
You're comparing it... You just,
it does that. The bus flipping over is kind of cool, and
it's got action. It's got explosions. It's got buses.
It does have that awesome inexplicable camera work where it's like a concert.
It's got crazy biker dudes with tattoos.
Yeah,
it's got Price. Malcolm Price.
Price was wasted though. That's another reason I'm not going to give it a 3. Price is this. They start with him looking mean as hell at this like. bar in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by dust and sand.
He was busy running for office.
And then, and that whole philosophy thing. They had little bits of things that could have been cool. Milked. And then they turned it into, like, whatever. And then Uzis, and then, like, are you kidding me? It turns into a joke at the end. It didn't need to do that. I mean, I'm punishing it by giving it that grade. I'm saying you, another 48 hours, were good for an hour. And then the last half hour...
It was a better movie the first hour.
You got contrived and weird. And then you killed off, like, the most awesome villain that you set up to be, like... He was going to be a real scary, like, hard-to-deal-with dude. And, like, you wasted him. Literally, they wasted him. Like, you don't see him for almost an hour, and then they waste him. And, I mean, just like with some of the stuff that I had with problems with the first one, it kind of goes back and forth. Then they go to the prison, and they see the guy. Then the guy punches through the glass, and it's like, what are you doing?
But the first one had Billy.
No, the first one was a better movie. I'm saying the first one was a 3.5. This one is a 2.5. It just, it didn't...
You were going to up it to a 4. You were going to up it to a
4. Well, I was thinking about it, but I still think... I gotta be a little bit more stringent in my grading, because I'm giving everything, like, above a 3 lately, and that's not fair. I give it a 2.5, you give it, what, you give it a 3.5?
No, I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
I mean, I understand.
It's just, I can't give
it... If you wanted, I could fucking line it up. If you want to start grading 1s and 2s and half stars...
No.
I can line up the movies to do it.
I know, I'm sure we could. We're
watching entertaining movies.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why the grading is skewed.
Porsche gets blown up in this one. There was a good bar fight in this, and you better admit.
He had to have a bar fight.
It was a cliche. Nick Nolte talked about how it was a cliche before it even happened. Then beer bottles were being thrown, and guns were being fired by E. Murphy, and shit happened.
Yeah, I haven't been in bar fights over that.
No gunfights. No broken teeth or anything.
Maybe.
Oh, wow. What shit's going on with those bars?
It's just brawls. Fucking people beating the shit
out of each other. You're putting a stop to it? That's usually the context?
You try. You just launch yourself in there and start pulling people
This is
apart.
You doing security at, like events and things where this is happening?
Yeah.
You're never, like, involved.
Essentially...
You're never, like, out with your boys.
Essentially, all you're doing is being a bouncer.
Yeah. Like, who's the cooler?
You got people working the door, and then you have people inside... To make sure, especially in crowds that thick, but it becomes a major pain in the ass. It's like when I was working with Zotties all the time. You know, it'd just be packed tight. And it was just impossible to get from one end to the other. And you'd end up with 3 or 4 people fighting. And it's just, you know, it's just a major fucking hassle.
Just dumb fucking college kids that are too stoned and too drunk.
You know, a lot of times it seemed like it was arguments over drugs. Was kind of the gist. But, I mean, generally... Once we got them broken up, we just sent them on their way.
Hmm.
And, you know, most people would deny, you know, if they were cut up or whatever, they wouldn't want treatment anyway, so.
Criminy.
Boys, but, you know, back, I mean, the cops basically never showed up either.
You were just like Roadhouse.
Right across the street.
Yeah, you were just like Roadhouse.
Well, I told you about that one time I went over to the little liquor store on the other side of the plaza by Everett's.
Mm-hmm.
To get some, it was wintertime, and I had a bad cough, and so I went and bought some cough drops. And as I'm walking out the door, these two chicks just walk up to each other, get in each other's face, and start, this one bitch is like, "You been fucking Mac Man," and just start slapping, and they just fucking, it's like Tasmanian devils. They just latched onto each other, pulling hair, gouging, and then they fucking start rolling on the ground. And this happened, like, within, like, 5 seconds right in front of me.
Did you just laugh, or what?
I should have. No, I grabbed onto one of them, and I literally picked both of them up off the ground. They were, like, attached. And I started shaking, and finally I shook one of them off.
You could throw your back out doing something like that.
I was younger. This was, like, what? This was, like, fucking 4 or 5 years ago. And, yeah, it was just hilarious.
Shaking motion, though.
White trash pieces of shit.
Hey, man, yeah. Got it. Watch that stuff.
But I couldn't believe it, man. Fucking just as I'm stepping out the door, boom. I've probably broken up, like half a dozen chick fights, and those are pretty nasty.
Yeah, man, you gotta get a scrotum punctured by a Lee press-on or something if you're not careful. It's the way it goes, man.
He had, all his women didn't end up so well.
Nope. They usually don't.
I don't know what happened.
They do it to themselves. They got to pick guys like Gantz. It's like Eddie Murphy was saying in Another 48 Hours. He's like, what, yeah, man. He shares you with some of his friends. They beat the shit, take turns beating the shit out of you. Then every 6 months he rolls in again.
Now they take turns
jumping up and down on her. You love him, right? And beating the shit out of her.
Well, you know, her daddy was, you know, not around when she was a kid. Or
probably not.
Beat mommy, or mommy beat
her. Malcolm McDowell pushed him out of a helicopter.
Malcolm McDowell? Like ping pong? Uh-huh. Oh, God.
It was probably her dad.
No. Wow.
Yeah. We get to see what happened to Ping Pong's daughter in Another 48 Hours.
God.
Okay. If you want to check us, send us an email, futilepodcast@gmail.com. If you're our audience, feel free to comment on the blog.
Shouldn't you throw that teaser out at the beginning so they listen to the rest of it, not at the end when they've already listened to it?
No, because I do it sometimes at the beginning, but I don't want them to feel like I'm shilling for the thing before they've even gotten a taste of the joy that is the podcast.
Well,
you should write a book. You should write a memoir. We can make a movie.
It's really not that interesting.
We can make a movie out of it. It can be. It can be. It can have drama
one time,
but then it can have comedy in it too.
Well, there was the pregnant hooker that was down there.
Yeah.
And then there was the pimp. Uh-huh. I'm serious. A pimp in a fucking Cadillac. It was like an early '90s Cadillac, and his hoe was trying to run away, and she was screaming and yelling, and he's fucking chasing her down the Cadillac. Just across the street from
the
library.
It's so much more funny when it's real.